All right, we are now joined by our race winner, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 51 KBM Toyota. We'll just go straight to questions. We have a couple queued up here, and a reminder to the other media, if you have a question, go to the participants tab at the bottom and raise your hand. We'll get started with Bob Pockris.
Yeah, what's it like, or how, I don't want to say tentative, but how do you drive when you know you have one of your young drivers next to you there in the last 4, 5, 6, 10 laps?
I try to be as respectful as I possibly can, but yet try to battle hard for the win. He had a pretty good run on me there, getting into turn three and almost cleared me. If he would have cleared me and slid me right there, it would have been over. But fortunately, I was able to just hang on his right rear. I try to hang on their right rear and just slow them down to make sure their progress doesn't keep going and pass me. And then once I feel like I'm even on momentum with them, then I try to get away so I don't suck them around. Because if I just stay on their door and stay too close, it's obviously going to get them loose and either wreck him or wreck me or wreck both of us. And so, you try to get away in those situations and not crash a guy.
And I'm curious too, when you found out your Xfinity car got DQ'd, I mean, do you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say, whatever, I did what I have to do, or does it kind of linger with you at all?
I mean, yeah, it's bothersome. It pisses me off. We come out here and race and run hard and score a win, and then it gets taken away from you, and it sucks because it's nothing we did. We even put a round in the right rear during the race in order to help the handling characteristic, and the left rear was low. So I don't know, but again, like you said, there's nothing I can do about it. So you just kind of move on. I don't know. I guess NASCAR wants me here longer.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Jerry Jordan.
Hey, Kyle. I was going to ask you a little bit about Christian and racing around him. But at one point during the race, you came over the radio and said when you're behind those guys, it's easy for you to make a mistake. Did you make a mistake out there, or were you just commenting about in general that closeness that you guys have?
There's little tiny mistakes all the time. I mean, even at the end of the race there, the last two laps, I made a couple little mistakes, but it wasn't big enough that, anybody would really be able to tell or whatnot. But when I was running side by side with him, I was trying to get by him. But he was running a good line. He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do and running a really nice race. And I just got real tight on the exit of turn four, hit those bumps and slid up and almost got into him. And that would have been dumb to crash two of us right there. But fortunately, he hung on to it. I was able to hang on to it. The 21 passed me. And then it wasn't five laps later, the 21 got super loose and about crashed, but held on to it. So there was definitely some interesting moments and some tense moments there when us three were running up there like that.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Steven Taranto.
Kyle, last year you were pretty outspoken about the fact that the 4 and 18 teams with KBM weren't running up to par with what you expect. Now fast forward to this year, you've had Christian contend for the win at Pocono, contend for the win tonight. Where would you say, how satisfied are you with the performance of Christian, the 18 team, and what do you think they need to do in order to take the next step and be winning races week in and week out?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm real proud of the effort. I said that on TV after the race as well, too. Just it's really cool to see those guys run well, do well. Christian is a very quiet kid, but is a smart one and does a good job behind the wheel. So being able to see him run well at Pocono, and then they had a flat right rear, nothing that he really did that caused that, and then spun out. But, here tonight, ran strong, ran hard, was leading coming into the final stop. And obviously with me and my track record of getting on and off pit road, we were able to get the lead from him. And so, but he did a great job on that final restart as well too, and held on right there with us. So last week he was making some passes and making some moves at Kentucky before the rain came. So I was hoping that race would go and finish to the end, but it just didn't happen. So real proud that they're getting their chemistry going and they're getting a little bit better, him and Rudy. And I think that'll only get stronger. And then Rafi, it's been a little bit slower for him to get going, but he's younger and he's got less experience in some of these tracks. He doesn't have as many ARCA starts as Ekis does. So I was proud to see him up in the top six there. I'm not sure where he ended up, but, looking forward to him and Hillman's continuing to get stronger. And that's what it's all about. They just got to build and get better. If there's progress and you're continuing to see some progress going upwards and your finish is going more towards the top, that's where you need to be.
All right, thank you. And thank you for mentioning Rafael too. I was gonna ask about him as well.
Yeah, no problem.
Kyle, our next question we have came in through Messenger from Brian Starr from Speedway Media. Kyle, you've been consistently good at Texas and the trucks over the last few races by now having 5 wins and 14 starts. What makes Texas so great for you, especially after the repave?
You know, our guys are just really good at what they do, and they've done a great job being able to put some fast tundras underneath me. So real proud of the effort tonight with Stockman and you know, him and I, we almost went 5 for 5 this year. I think if we didn't have the part failure at Charlotte and then some speeding issues at Atlanta, we probably could have done that. But still, it was nice to have another crew chief in the house. I haven't worked with Hillman yet, but it was nice to have another crew chief in the house that I feel like we can go out there and be competitive week in and week out. And the 18 and the 51 ran together and fast. So that was really cool for me. So that was good. Now, me turning over the 51 to Chandler and some other guys to cap off the rest of the year is going to be exciting for me to kind of see their growth and where they're at. Obviously, knowing our program is good with this truck, bad news for them, they got no excuses.
It looks like we have one more question from Greg Engel.
Hey, Kyle, congratulations. Can you talk about the relationship with Robert Hamke? You were saying that essentially Rowdy Manufacturing, that's what you are now, Rowdy Manufacturing. Can you help us to understand the relationship and how it all ties into what Rowdy Manufacturing is now?
Yeah, so Hamke was obviously a super late model builder, and he built cars. He built cars for the old Southeast Tour back when it was NASCAR, and the Slim Jim All Pro Series and all that sort of stuff. He built cars forever. So he was always fast, always had great stuff. And then when I started my super late model program in 2007, that's who I started with. I had a Hamke car, and we evolved that Hamke car over the years and continued to work on it and make it better and make it to where I wanted it and my standards of how I wanted things done. And then the last 2 years, I actually went off and built my own cars and didn't have Hamke stuff anymore. But then another guy who I'm friends with, partners with, he came in and bought Robert out and paid for Robert's building, paid for all his assets, and bought all of Hamke race cars and parts, essentially bought the business. And then that guy wanted to build my cars at Hamke's. So then we kind of joined forces and teamed up, and I became partners in that deal. So that's kind of how it all transpired and where it's at to today. So that location, the old Hamke building, still builds the late models and stuff right now. And then the trucks and all of that stuff is Rowdy Manufacturing, which is built out of the back of Kyle Busch Motorsports, where we help out Shiggy, Hattori Racing, as well as Stuart Friesen and those guys.
Thank you. And one more question. The Xfinity deal, I know it sucks, but do you understand what happened? And is there an appeal, you think, that you maybe you guys might appeal that, or is it just screw it and move on?
Yeah, no, I don't really understand what happened there. I don't know why we would have been too low. I mean, obviously you start the cars in the green, and then there's a leeway. I don't know if it's 3/8 of an inch or what it is on the sticks, you know, before you fall into the red, and we were a 16th into the red. So it doesn't make any sense to me. The only thing I can think of is when they're allowed to unhook the shocks and they pull the front of the car up, they over pulled the front of the car up, which dipped it on the left rear because the left rear spring is kind of soft, and that lowered the left rear spoiler height where they check it all the way at the back of the car. And so that made it low. If the front was high and a half inch high or whatever, if they would have let it push the front down to minimum on the front, minimum legal, it probably would have picked the back up and the back would have been fine. But too many levers, too many things, too much bullshit that you got to go through. It'd be nice to get rid of all the ride height rules across all three series, in my opinion.
Thank you so much, Kyle. Have fun tomorrow.
Yeah, I wish.
And Kyle, we actually got one more question in from Chris Knight.
Hey, Kyle, congratulations on the win. I was just wondering, you know, next weekend is the first doubleheader for the truck series at Kansas Speedway Racing on Friday night and then Saturday night. As the series, is that going to be difficult for the series as a whole, or is it an opportunity for an organization like KBM to capitalize on that?
It's definitely an opportunity for us to capitalize on that. I mean, I feel like we're pretty good where we're at. You just got to take care of your stuff in the first race and not have any damage coming out of the first race to be good for the second race. I think we're going to have Brandon Jones behind the wheel for both of the races in the 51 truck. So he should do a really good job. He won his last start out at Pocono. So hopefully him and Stockman have a good idea of what they're going to do and accomplish for Kansas next week. But I'll be running the cup race on Thursday and peacing out for halfway off week. So I wish them the best of luck.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
Yep.
All right, Kyle, thanks for joining us tonight. Congratulations on the win. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. You got it. Thank you.